the plagues. And the first two we've seen, the water to blood and the frogs. As we've described these are sort of the irritating plagues, kind of nuisance plagues. There's really kind of a pain. And we've got one more. And as I suggested, the third in each triplet just sort of comes. It's not really a warning statement to Pharaoh like there is in the other plagues. So, 16 to 19 of chapter 8.
Then the Lord said to Moses, "Say to Aaron, stretch out your staff and strike the dust of the earth, so that it may become gnats in all the land of Egypt." And they did so. Aaron stretched out his hand with his staff, struck the dust of the earth, and there were gnats on men and beasts. All the dust of the earth became gnats in all the land of Egypt. The magicians tried by their secret arts to produce gnats, but they could not. So there were gnats on man and beast. Then the magician said to Pharaoh, "This is the finger of God." But Pharaoh's heart was hardened, and he would not listen to them, as the Lord had said.
So, saturation bombing with ants turns the dust of the ground into gnats. And they're everywhere. Can't get rid of them. Which would be really annoying. You know, not necessarily, you know, killing things, but really a pain. I hate gnats. You know, they cling to you and they're annoying. Sometimes it's hard for us to know exactly what kind of insects these were as well, but if that's really what this is, I can see why that would have been really difficult. And you see how the magicians changed their tune here? What about them?
They couldn't do it,
yeah. They tried and couldn't do it. And what is their verdict on this? They just figure of God. You know, they really see, this is the Lord. You know, when you convince the magicians, wow! You know, because they were duplicating the others, at least it seemed like it, more or less. But this time they said, this is God. And how does that affect Pharaoh?
He gets even better.
Yeah. He's so stubborn, he won't listen. He's got a hard heart, just like the Lord said he's going to. Comments and questions on that third play. Yes, Tim.
So I have three plagues so far. Pharaoh's only said, you know, take away the frogs.
That's correct.
Does that mean like the now would be blood and there'd be frogs too, and then all that's gone, and then here's the next one, and then the next one?
I don't think so. I think God does take the plagues away. Somebody mentioned there were apparently 7 days that the Nile was blood. I think the gnats are there for a while and then they are gone too. That's what I think. I don't know if I can prove that, but that's what I think. Yes?
Do you think that they are actually acknowledging that it's Jehovah God, or is it that it's just a being beyond them?
Maybe that it's a God. I doubt that they're saying Jehovah God is the only God anyway. Maybe they think it is the Israelite God. That would make sense. Okay? Yes, Andrew.
I think some translations, why some say gnats, others say lice. Do you have any idea whether they were nice?
You know, the hard thing with things like this is, how do you define words in an ancient language? You do it by context. Well, some words are really easy that way. But words for like insects, animals, diseases, flowers, gems, you know, things like that, it's really hard because you don't have good context. So I don't really know. You know, I think gnats is probably as good a possibility as anything else, but I don't think we really know for sure. Brigham.
It's not surprising he's not intimidated by when they say it's the finger of God, because, I mean, he thinks himself as the God of all gods.
Right.
I mean, it's like with the other plagues that were judgments on gods, he was like, okay, so maybe be that God, but you have to be media. So he obviously, his self-concept is, I'm higher than those gods.
Good point. I agree with that. Carl.
One of the things that strikes me and reminds me of in Acts chapter 8, Simon the sorcerer sees a real miracle. The false miracle workers recognize a real miracle when they actually see one.
Yes. Yeah, of all people. you know, those whose professional specialty is, you know, this kind of stuff should know.
They made a lot more complicated animals than gnats. So is that like saying maybe God prevented them from making this animal? And maybe God was allowing them to make it?
Maybe. That's a good question. I don't have a good answer. I don't know why this one they couldn't replicate. All right. Look at the fourth plague. You know, if we said that the first three were like irritating plagues or nuisance plagues, I would call these destructive plagues. They're a little bit worse, especially 5 and 6. Maybe 4 is kind of in the middle, but 22-32.
And the Lord said to Moses, "Rise up early in the morning and present yourself to Pharaoh as he goes out to the water. Say to him, 'Thus says the Lord, let my people go that they may serve me. Or else, if you will not let my people go, behold, I will send swarms of flies on you and your servants and your people into your houses. And the houses of the Egyptians shall be filled with swarms of flies, and also the ground on which they stand. But on that day I will set apart the land of Goshen, where my people dwell, so that no swarms of flies shall be there, that you may know that I am the Lord in the midst of the earth. Thus I will put a division between my people and your people. Tomorrow this sign shall happen.' And the Lord did so. There came a great swarms of flies into the house of Pharaoh and into his servants' houses throughout all the land of Egypt. The land was ruined by the swarms of flies. Then Pharaoh called Moses and Aaron and said, 'Go, sacrifice to your God within the land.' But Moses said, 'It will not be right to do so, for the offerings we shall sacrifice to the Lord our God are an abomination to the Egyptians. If we sacrifice offerings abominable to the Egyptians before their eyes, will they not stone us? We must go 3 days' journey to the wilderness and sacrifice to the Lord our God as he tells us.' So Pharaoh said, 'I will let you go to sacrifice to the Lord your God in the wilderness. Only you must not go very far away. Plead for me.' Then Moses said, 'Behold, I am going out from you, and I will plead with the Lord that the swarm of flies may depart from Pharaoh, from his servants, and from his people tomorrow. Only let not Pharaoh cheat again by not letting the people go to sacrifice to the Lord.' So Moses went out from Pharaoh and prayed to the Lord. And the Lord did as Moses asked, and removed the swarm of flies from Pharaoh, from his servants, and from his people. Not one remained. But Pharaoh hardened his heart this time also, and did not let the people go."
Okay, you notice that the beginning of this plague is very much like chapter 7, verse 15, where he says, "Rise early in the morning and go to Pharaoh there by the water." And what kind of plague does he threaten him with this time? Flies. And sure enough, there's flies. But this time it's very clear, no flies where the Israelites are. Just in the land of Egypt where the Egyptians are. And just swarms everywhere in the houses and everywhere else. And you know, this is in the days before, you know, screened in windows and, you know, insect repellents probably and things like that. So you can imagine what a real chore this was to have flies everywhere. And this is one of those where, you know, you just have a hard time coming up with a naturalistic explanation for this. I mean, when else have flies respected national boundaries? You know, I mean, it's just kind of wild. You know, the flies just stop right there at the border of Goshen. So it seems clear to me that this is just God's arbitrary plague, so to speak. And you can imagine that. You know, I mean, you can't even, you know, walk without stepping on them and all of that. How does Pharaoh respond to this one?
Tries to compromise.
Yeah. That's real progress. I mean, this kind of first crack, I'd say, in official governmental resistance to any idea of them going and worshiping God. What kind of a compromise does Pharaoh offer?
They can go within the land.
Yeah, go just has to be in the land. And, you know, the devil is often offering compromises like that. You know, okay, you can go, you can do something, just you can't go too far. That kind of an idea. And so that's what you've got here. Yeah, sacrifice, but stay in the land. Does Moses accept that?
No.
No, not at all. What does he say?
They're going to sacrifice things that are abomination to the Egyptians, and the Egyptians wouldn't take too kindly to that.
So, got to be 3 days' journey. That's what they'd said originally, and that's the way it's going to be. No compromise accepted. And of course, Pharaoh is not willing to give in to the Lord's full demands in this. And so, you know, he doesn't give in. But what does Moses say he's going to do? Verse 29.
He'll ask the Lord to remove them. And don't change your mind.
Yeah. And what does the Lord do?
He listens to Moses.
Yeah, removes him. It looks to me like that's as big a miracle as bringing them. How many of them does he remove? Totally. You know, they're gone. Not one remains. Pharaoh hardened his heart. Pharaoh had said, well, you know, go, just don't go too far away. You know, and but as soon as the flies are gone, they won't let them go anywhere. That's it. You know, Pharaoh, do you ever do that? You know, kind of like when you're really in trouble, God, I'll do this, I'll do that. And as soon as the trouble's over, renege. You know, that's a really bad, bad thing to do. But that's where Pharaoh is at. All he seems to really be doing is just saying whatever he needs to say to try to get rid of the plague, but not really repenting, not really changing his heart. Comments and thoughts. Look.
What exactly was it about their sacrifices that would have been abominable? Is it some of the animals?
Probably the sacrifice of some animals that the Egyptians would have thought of as maybe deities or something like that.
Doesn't it sound like an excuse that Moses is making to Pharaoh? I mean, is that really the reason? I don't see that as the real reason.
I think that's a reason. I think it's not the only one. I suspect that their sacrifices would be about an abomination, but that's not the only thing. Bill?
Just a quick question. Would the 3 days' journey actually be 3 days to go and then another 3 to come back? Or would it be 3 days in total? Not that it's anything. I
assume 3 days to go and 3 days to come back, but I don't know for sure. Yes, Emily?
Did Moses understand that God was taking it up to the promised land? Like, what's the significance of taking 3 days?
What I think is that God is dealing with Pharaoh mercifully. You know, instead of starting with the most outrageous demand, something that you would think Pharaoh certainly would not allow, he's going to work Pharaoh into this. First, let us go and offer sacrifice, and then later he would ask for something more strenuous. That's what I think. And so God's really just, you know, not presenting the full list of demands yet. He'll try him with this one first. Roger.
At the end, isn't it Pharaoh's idea to just leave?
Yes.
God doesn't even demand it.
Yeah, Pharaoh finally expels them. You know, orders them out, really. Which is ironic, because he's ordering them to do what God has wanted all along. Yeah, it's just, you know, Pharaoh comes off almost like a bumbling idiot in this whole thing. Now, I don't think he was. It's just that, well, when you're fighting against God, how are you going to come off? Okay. Other thoughts? Okay, so that's the plague of flies. Now chapter 9, verses 1 to 7.